There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Stage Door.
Now this is exciting. We are joined by our thespian friends this afternoon.
Hi, I'm Liz from Constellation, and the piece of theatre that's influenced me most in my life was a piece I saw in 2006 in London called Faust by Punch Drunk and the National Theatre, which was in a 150,000 square foot warehouse, and it was theatre on a scale that I'd never seen before. It was over five floors of an abandoned warehouse, and it was insane, and I thought, yes, that is the sort of theatre I want to do. I just have to find abandoned warehouses.
Hi, my name is Phil, and the piece of theater that influenced me the most was Hamlet, but specifically it was actually one that I was in, playing the lead role of Hamlet. It was actually one that it didn't go so well, and it kept me out of theater for about 5 years after.
Whoa.
So it kind of influenced the way I thought about myself, about theater, about what it meant to be acting, what it meant to be embodying a role. Yeah, that influenced me a lot.
Hi, I'm Penny McKenzie, and talking about long ago and when you saw something, the piece of theatre that influenced me, I watched more than 30 years ago. That will date me somewhat. It was called Old Herbaceous. It was a one-man show written by a gentleman called Alfred Shaughnessy, and the actor was a man called Roger Hume, and I couldn't believe how one person could command the whole audience for over 2 hours without stopping, without anybody else there. And it showed me what how powerful storytelling was. Even during the interval where I would have thought that any sane actor would have left and taken a break, he stayed and he walked amongst the audience that had stayed in the auditorium and chatted to them. He was incredible, and it was just such an interesting way of looking at the power of the spoken word.
So now we know who we've got on the panel. What are we talking about, Liz?
So what we're talking about today is stunt casting. So casting celebrities in theatre shows. There's been a lot in the media at the moment about it because a YouTube star, Tanya Burr, who is one of those YouTube stars that does makeup shows from their bedroom, she has been cast as the lead role in a show in London in Southwark Playhouse in a show called Confidence. Now she has 3.7 million YouTube followers and 3.2 million Instagram and Twitter followers. And they estimated that if she brought each one of her followers to the Southwark Playhouse, they would fill the theatre for 87 years. So the question is, is something like that just stunt casting, or is it smart economic sense? Are they trying to actually just bring in bums and seats and a new generation, a new audience to the theatre? Or is it simply a matter of, you know, should it be given instead to an actor? Because an actor has trained, an actor has gone through drama school, has trained, has put in the time, has got the experience. This girl has not got any experience in anything apart from making her own YouTube channel. So why should she be given the opportunity?
Mm. Yeah, I feel a little bit along those lines, I've got to be honest. And seeing the reviews of this, it's been panned, right?
Yeah, it has. She hasn't been a great success. However, having said that, I mean, there have been other celebrities who have done well in theatre, and there's lots and lots of examples, certainly in London at the moment, of X Factor stars starring in shows, of sporting celebrities starring in shows, like the cricketer Freddie Flintoff was in a musical recently as well.
I think it's really important to differentiate between the need to get an audience and a really good production. And I think that if you can put the right sort of people who are minor celebrities or even big celebrities in something that isn't going to detract from the show too much, it actually benefits the community overall, because what you do is get a new audience that you wouldn't normally have coming to see something. And if the show is good enough surrounding the celebrity, then you might get that person coming to the theatre again. And I think for that reason alone, it's probably worthwhile. Because, you know, all these really great trained actors, if they don't have audiences, they don't have a job.
Yeah, but you can't put them in the lead role, Penny.
No, you shouldn't put them in a lead role. That was a bit of a mistake, I think.
I think I saw it was probably about sixth grade. I saw Rent in Broadway, but it was when Mel B, Scary Spice, was part of the cast.
Yikes.
But
that would put me off going, actually.
But it worked. It actually worked. And she wasn't in the lead role. She wasn't in one that, you know, defined the entire cast. But I think that worked. That helped get more people through the door. But this was at a time when Rent was doing phenomenally well anyway. It was successful. It didn't really need a celebrity. But I agree with Penny. If it's something that's getting people through the door and a new generation through the door, If it's getting people in seats, that's great.
That was the argument for the Southwark Playhouse for this girl, Tanya Burr, that they were trying to target the generation of 15 to 24-year-olds. And that's the generation that she's got on her YouTube channel. So they were trying to say, well, we're going to get people that would never, ever, ever come to a theatre show, and we're going to get them coming through.
Well done. But what if you turn off all the people that normally would, and then the next play, she's not in it. So then who comes?
I agree. I mean, there's going to be, unfortunately, plenty of people that will go and they don't quite get it. They don't see it. They aren't used to it. They aren't interested.
I get it. I mean, they obviously want to open it up to a new audience, but I guess it comes down to credibility and whether someone can prove themselves with their acting chops or not. It, like you say, if you have someone that has absolutely zero experience doing any kind of acting, why would you put them in a major role?
The stage. How would you explain the stage to people who don't know it, Liz?
The stage, the newspaper?
Yeah.
So it's a website, it's also a newspaper for theatre stories around the world, and also lots and lots of casting opportunities globally.
All right, well, they did a poll on this, and they discovered that nearly 90% of people think that stunt casting is a negative activity for theatre.
Mm. Yes, but the thing with the stage is that a lot of people who read the stage are actors themselves, and they're looking at it from a very personal perspective in the here and now. I think you have to look at it a little bit more broadly, and you have to... There are big negatives, I'm not saying that they aren't, but... If you can bring people to the theatre that would not normally come and they see something that is well put together, they will come again. If you take children who are forced to go and watch theatre, say because of a syllabus at school, and they come in and they've never been to the theatre before, never mind who's in it, but they're there because they for a reason other than a love of theatre, and they see something, a lot of them will become theatre goers, and they are entranced by what they see. So it's a method, it's a means to an end.
And arguably, from a production house point of view or a theatre house point of view, what's the most important thing? Selling tickets. And if they're selling tickets and they're selling out the shows, job done, really.
Okay, I've got a scenario I want to put to you guys. So I have written a play. It's a rom-com. Lovely, sensitive guy in the male lead role. I can either have... who would play it? Like a really great actor who no one knows. Nobody knows him, but we know him. We know he can do it. He'll be amazing in the role. However, I happen to know Chris Fade from Virgin Breakfast Show. Like, I know him quite well. I could ask him and he'd probably do it. Hmm. That would bring in all of those listeners who are like 14 years old and love him. What should we do, guys? We're in the meeting right now. What do we do?
From an artistic point of view, we go with the actor. But as I said, from a commercial point of view...
Not from... I want your honest answer right now. Who are we casting?
I would audition him. Do you know Chicago does that? Chicago has been running for how many years? And what they do is they get hold of celebrities who they think could possibly be in the show. They audition them. And of those that they audition, some of them get the opportunity to do the show. So I think it's a good trawling way of getting people involved. If he's good enough, wow, you can wave your flag and you've got an brilliant first
exactly.
prize.
Just give him a call right now and we can audition him.
I'm in the middle ground. As someone who has to produce things professionally, I am going to look at the bottom line and say, well, yeah, we need to bring people in. We need to bring bums on seats. We need money. But I'm with Penny as well. It's not going to be viable if it can't last. If people are going to laugh their way out of the theater because it's not good, no offense to Chris, he probably could be great. But, you know, if it's great, then absolutely, let's carry on with that.
Having said that, I mean, celebrity and using celebrity names, I actually have been to the theater a number of times to see a celebrity. So, but it is a celebrity who's an actor. So I've been to see Judi Dench, I've been to see Ian McKellen, I've been to see Jude Law, and I went because of the names.
Mm. I went to see Hugh Jackman and Daniel Craig. When they were on Broadway in America, in New York. I'm really bad at even the names. A Steady Rain, they were in 2009. Do you remember that? It was the one where someone's phone went off.
Oh,
Jackman
yes.
went Stop. Crazy
Go
about it.
Go on then, answer your phone.
Go on then, answer it if you must. I was there for that.
That's amazing.
It was awesome. But I mean, would I have gone to see that if it didn't have them in it? Probably not.
But having said that, you know that Hugh Jackman is someone that treads the boards anyway.
He's an amazing
stage actor to start with.
Would I have gone and see it if it was, like, say, The Rock and a wrestler that I really liked? Like, probably, no.
Yeah, excuse me, The Rock is an actor.
Come on. Is he any good on stage?
Come on, Penny.
I'm not going to come on. The guy this performs professionally.
This is a stretch. Okay, we're going to get out of this now. And if you're listening to this thinking, I would love to get involved in local theatre, I've got no idea where to start, stay tuned. Dubai Drama Group are going to be holding auditions and they might be looking for you. We are going to be put through our paces as well, I think, when it comes to auditions, and be auditioning ourselves when we come back.
Stage Door.
We are talking theatre. We have our thespians with us.
Hi, I'm Liz from Constellation.
Hi, I'm Phil.
And I've already said hello, Penny.
Now, we're talking about local theatre. We're going to be talking about theatre all over the world after 3 o'clock today. Shows that you might see as you travel. A lot of people are going travelling over the summer. But we want to invite people along to auditions, don't we? Like, if they're interested in getting into theatre, then there's a way that you can do it. You can come and audition for plays that are going to be happening here with Dubai Drama Group.
Exactly. So Dubai Drama Group are auditioning on the 9th of June at 7pm at the Courtyard Playhouse, which is in Alcoz, for two plays. So the first play that they're auditioning is called The Lion in Winter, which is rather well known from a movie that was done with Peter O'Toole and Catherine Hepburn. She won an Oscar for her performance in that. Mm-hmm. And the second play is Copenhagen by Michael Frayn. Now, the interesting thing about these two plays is that they are both historical. They are both have characters that really did exist in them. The Lion in Winter has got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 male parts ranging in ages from 50 to 16 and 2 female parts, a 23-year-old and a 61-year-old. So that's a really great range of ages there. And then the Copenhagen is a three-hander, 2 men, 1 woman, set in 1941. So there's a nice broad spectrum there. The first play is set in, a long time ago when Richard the Lionheart was around.
I got to tell you guys, I don't think auditioning is for me because you handed me a piece of paper to audition and I feel sick. I really do. I've been looking at it and I can't think of anything else.
It's okay. A few nerves are normal. A bit of adrenaline is good.
What do I need to do? Okay. So you're going to audition myself and Phil here, who's a professional.
That's right. So obviously Penny's looking to cast for A Lion in Winter. So, you know, potentially, Steph, you know, one of these parts could be yours if you do well today. No pressure at all, obviously.
Okay.
But
I'm already red. Can you see?
I think that you need to read this for us now, I think, don't you?
I'm a beetroot. Okay, I'll give it a go.
Yeah, it's terrible being nice.
A female monologue from the play. Don't do it. Don't open that little box one more crack. Don't ask me to marry you. Don't say another word. Just listen. I can't let you do this to me. I mean, before I met you, I used to be such a horrible person. I mean, seriously, everyone at work thought I was awful. No one actually liked me. Those people I introduced you to as my friends, they're not my friends. They're scared of me. Or they were before I met you. Before you, I never said please or thank you at restaurants. I never smiled or laughed at anyone's jokes but mine. I was quick with insults. I always had a cruel word. I was cold, cross, crass, falsely compassionate. Please, please, put the box away. I mean, the planet already has millions of nice people. It doesn't need me to. I am a horrible person, and I want to stay that way. Please, stop. Don't. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. No. I'm getting down on my knees. Will you please, please, not marry me?
Yay!
So that was Steph reading Steph, yeah?
Huh?
That was you reading you.
Was it?
Yeah.
I was playing the part.
Were you?
I wasn't me. I was in character then.
Okay, well then can I ask you to play, to read the last bit, you know, where it says, please, please don't put that box away. Can you read that as if you were a 23-year-old princess without any power, who's a pawn in the political games of kings and sort of international politics of the day?
That was just me.
I think we said she was a bit of an airhead.
A little bit of an airhead,
right?
And weak and madly in love.
Okay, it might not sound too different. I don't know how to do it.
Just a couple of sentences.
Shall I read one line and you can carry on?
Yeah, sure.
Shall I do that? Okay. So
is that how you do it?
Please, please, please put the box away. I mean, the planet already has. And then you can carry on.
Millions of nice people. It doesn't need me too. I'm a horrible person, and I want to stay that way. Please, stop. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. I'm getting down on my knees. Will you please, please not marry me?
Yeah, you see?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, oh, it's hard work. I am absolutely exhausted.
Just one more challenge, Jen.
Yeah, do you reckon that you could do that as an enormously powerful woman, probably the most powerful woman in Europe? She's 61 years old, and she's got three sons that she absolutely loves, and she wants one of them to gain the throne. So everything you say is around keeping your power and making sure that people understand how very important you are.
Okay. Please, please, put that box away. I mean, the planet already has millions of nice people. It doesn't need me to. I am a horrible person and I want to stay that way. Please, stop. I'm asking you, and I'm begging you. I'm getting down on my knees. Will you please, please not marry me?
It's much more authoritative, yeah.
I thought so, yeah.
I quit. Yeah. It's way too hard for me. Phil, you are going to do your part. Who are you going to be when you read this?
Well, I don't want to give it away. I believe I'm playing the role of Charles here, but there's a whole twist to this role.
Okay.
But by the way, I thank you for saying professional, but just an hour before the show, I found out I was rejected for a role, so I'm feeling the pressure too. Just feeling it. So
okay,
let's see what we can do.
Take it away.
Why can't you accept I'm a leprechaun? It's like you're embarrassed. When we're out and I mention to people that I've recently transformed into a leprechaun, you always laugh lightly, then veer the conversation to another topic. I don't want them to think I'm crazy either, but I can't lie about who I am. It is who I am. Look at the facts. There's a salary freeze, but I got a raise. The market took a beating, but my stocks are up. Housing values down, but not our house. No, people aren't lucky like that. How do you explain that rainbow in our backyard? Rainbows do not linger for a week. I mean, I get this isn't what you bargained for when you said I do, but people change. Not usually into leprechauns, but you have to accept this. We have to get it out in the open so we can work through it together. This isn't easy for me either. I denied it at first.
Okay.
Yay. I'll give you the part, Phil.
Oh, thank you.
As the leprechaun?
As the leprechaun.
We are going to rate what Phil did there and maybe ask him to do it in another way. Also, we're going to be looking at some of the good theatre productions from around the world. A lot of people travelling this summer. You might get the opportunity to see one of these.
Stage Door.
Joined by our lovely bunch of thespians this afternoon.
I'm Penny.
I'm Liz.
I'm Phil.
And do we want to comment on Phil's performance a little bit earlier? Let's keep it quick because people may not have heard it. I thought it was wonderful, Phil.
Oh, thank you.
You were very good.
Yeah, I think I would have cast you as the 25-year-old, 26-year-old in that. Yeah, one of the princes.
And how old are you?
About to turn 30. Let's see.
That's very good then, isn't
it?
Yeah. Huh. Men getting all the roles, no matter what age they are. I don't know. Yeah. So looking at theatre around the world, a lot of people are travelling this summer, going to all different corners of the world. What have you decided to pick out as recommendations that people should see?
Well, I'm a London girl, so I'm going to think that London theatre is, of course, the best in the world. I was actually there last week, and I also have a 22-month-old child, and I went to see a theatre show that was specifically for her. It's called Sensational at the Unicorn Theatre on the South Bank, and yeah, it was a show crafted particularly for that age group, which I think is very rare. She put on a little white suit, and it was interactive, and they did dancing, and they had projection, and she was actually chasing ducks and butterflies and flowers all around the floor. It was completely darkened, and then they had these objects sort of all over the floor that they could chase, and it was beautiful.
Why aren't we doing stuff like that here, I wonder?
Well, exactly, we should be, because I think there's a huge market for it. If you look at the amount of children's things that are on in Dubai, I think children's theatre is something that's missing. I tried to take it to shows here, and it's all 3+. So there's a market out there for 22-month-old children at the theatre.
Absolutely.
But myself as an adult, I really want to go and see Ian McKellen as Leah at the Duke of York. I actually saw Ian McKellen as Leah in Singapore in 2007, and it was one of the most magical pieces of theatre I've ever seen. So that starts, that opens on July 11th. So I definitely want to catch that.
A little bit of a flashback, if you like. We've got a clip of Sir Ian McKellen when he was playing King Lear.
Paternal care, propinquity and property of blood, and as a stranger to my heart and thee, hold thee from this forever.
Good.
Peace. Kent, come not between the dragon that is Ross. I loved her most. And survive my sight! Call France. Who stirs? Call Burgundy. Cornwall. Albany, with my two daughters' dowers, digest the third. Let pride, which she calls plainness, marry her. I do invest you jointly with my power. Preeminence, ourself by monthly course with reservation of 100 knights, by you to be sustained, shall our abode make with you.
It's another level, isn't it, acting-wise? Sir Ian McKellen.
He's absolutely amazing, yeah. We should totally catch that. It's at the Duke of York's Theatre in London's West End from July 11th.
Amazing. Leah. Right, now, what could be the world's priciest theatre show ever? Who wants to tell us about this?
Well, it's something that I saw online, and I absolutely want to do it, if only I had the money. It costs over £1,000, so that's about 5,500 dirhams.
Wow.
And that's not including airfare. So it's a three-day experience, starts in Canada, in Ontario, and then takes you over across to London. And it's 3 days of immersive, interactive, surprising experiences, culminating in a personalised, immersive West End musical.
It sounds so much fun, this, doesn't it?
It sounds amazing.
It sounds amazing, but there's a couple of buts for me. First of all, there's actually a plus. 36 people, that's your audience, 36 people. But you don't know what it is that you're going to go and watch.
But that's fun, isn't it? I want to be surprised.
It is.
I'm torn. That's a lot of money to pay for something when you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, it is a lot of money. I mean, I'm not going to do it, clearly.
You're paying for the experience. Like, only 36 people get the chance to do this.
Yeah,
I would do it.
Meet all of those other people who will be like-minded individuals who are all like really excited about it. It sounds to me like the best school trip ever, but you have to pay for it.
Yeah,
I really like that. If you do want to do that, if you like the sound of it, it leaves from Canada, so I guess you'd have to buy flights to go to Canada. Then you'd have to buy the flights from there that would then get you to London. It's going to be pricey. You're probably looking at about 15,000 dirhams. But if you love theatre, that's not out of reach for some people, is it? There's some minted people living in this city. Limited supply of tickets available till the 27th of June.
Yeah, not a lot of time to get those tickets.
But you could get them. Guys, we've run out of time. Mm. It has been absolutely lovely to have you in the studio. I will see you in 2 weeks' time for what will be our very last show together.
Oh, no.
Oh, but we'll make it fun. We'll have to think of something very different to do.
Mm.
Okay, thinking caps on. That's your job, by the way. That's why I don't think I like that. So yes, Penny, Liz, Phil, thank you so much for joining us as always today. It's been a blast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stage Door.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.